Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's Alpek second quarter 2013 results conference call. With us this morning, we have from Alpek, Jose Valdez, CEO, Raul Meares, CFO, and Hernan Lozano, Head of Investor Relations, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions that you might have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's website, www.alpek.com. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Lozano. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our second quarter 2013 results conference call. We very much appreciate everyone's participation. This call will be divided into two parts. First, Mr. Valdez and Mr. Millares will provide some insights about the industry and our company's results. And after that, we will open up a Q&A session. Information discussed on today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's results and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Alpek undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Jose Valdez.
Thank you, Hernan. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I will start today's call with a brief overview of our company's performance and recent progress in the implementation of our 2013 strategic investment initiatives. Afterwards, Raul Millares will discuss our company's year-to-date operating and financial results. Alpek's operating performance for the quarter was in line with our expectations. Our core North American polyester operations have been resilient, and we continue seeing gradual but steady sequential improvement in both polyester export and caprolactam margins. As anticipated, polyester export markets outside of North America continue to recover sequentially, reflecting the positive trend in Asian polyester margins after hitting bottom in the fourth quarter of 2012. We were pleased to see a strong polypropylene and expandable polystyrene demand. This was a significant improvement from the declines experienced in the previous quarter. Greater stability in propylene prices contributed to polypropylene volume growth, while incremental demand in the U.S., Canada, and South America benefited EPS volume and more than offset the continued weakness in the Mexican construction segment. Caprolactam also contributed to volume growth in the second quarter, and even though global caprolactam margin are lower than expected year-on-year after the steep contraction observed in the second half of 2012, they have remained relatively stable, posting a slight improvement throughout the first semester. Stability in the caprolactam segment is expected to continue into the second half of 2013. Margins seem to have found a firm footing at the current level. While we were pleased with the overall business improvement, our results were negatively impacted by one-time events in the second quarter, specifically the KPS closure and several multi-day power outages that interrupted operations in our Altamira and Cosulacaque PTA facilities. The single most important effect was caused by our decision to accelerate the planned closure of our KPS site in order to enhance profitability by consolidating our polyester operations in more cost-efficient facilities of our multi-site network. While this initiative is expected to benefit our long-term cost competitiveness with approximately $30 million per year in cash savings after September 2013. Results this quarter reflect the full impact of the total estimated expense provisions and asset impairment charges, plus the initial operation transition to shut down the plant. We expect initial cash savings to start accruing as soon as the fourth quarter as a result of our decision to fast-track the Cape Fear closure. This initiative is an important step toward our goal to reconfigure our installed polyester capacity in North America. The Cape Fear site closure will allow us to capture significant savings in conversion, logistics, and fixed costs by leveraging our most efficient assets. As we move ahead with this transition, our combined polyester production capabilities in the Americas, including recent the bottleneck project, will allow us to continue serving the market effectively and grow with our customers. Having said that, I would now like to take this opportunity to give you an update relating to our 2013 strategic investment initiatives. We are excited by the progress and future prospects on this front. Let me begin by saying that the construction of our Cosolacaque cogeneration plant is moving along on schedule. The facility is now more than 80% complete, and we are on track to begin operations in early 2014. In addition, the market's response to our power offering has been very positive, as we currently have 100% of the plant's excess electricity either contracted or committed with other industrial users. Next, the technical specification process for the Altamira cogeneration project is underway. This is a critical step in preparation for construction, which is expected to begin within the next 6 months. We plan on building upon the implementation experience gained in the Cosolacaque project to maximize value creation in Altamira. Regarding our MEG backward integration project, let me assure you that we are fully committed to finalizing the definition stage as soon as possible in order to begin construction. Even though we are not yet in a position to announce whether the project will go forward in Mexico or the United States, recent progress attained with potential partners is very encouraging. Finally, during the first quarter, we concluded the bottleneck project that increased our Colombia site PET capacity by as much as 60,000 tons. And this quarter, we initiated the engineering process to expand PET capacity by 55,000 tons at our Pearl River facility. As you can see, we are focused on maximizing value creation by enhancing our cost competitiveness as we successfully implement our investment plan. The closure of our KPR site, along with the Colombia debottlenecking, will contribute to profitability already this year, while the other projects will enhance results significantly beginning in 2014. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Raul Millares, who will discuss our company's financial results and comment on guidance.
Thank you, Pepe, and good morning, everyone. The most significant impact on Altec's second quarter financial results was the decision to accelerate, as mentioned, the closure of our KPIR site. As mentioned earlier, even though this initiative will enhance our low-cost position and profitability with an estimated $30 million in annual cash savings, our company's financial results were negatively affected by the immediate recognition of total estimated cash and non-cash expenses. In accordance with IFRS, we recognize the full estimated amount associated with the KPIR closure in the second quarter. Our EBITDA was reduced by $27 million expense provision, and then our net income was negatively impacted by $114 million, comprised of the aforementioned expense provision, plus $157 million asset impairment, less $70 million of deferred tax. Let me now talk about the performance of our two business segments. Starting with polyester, volume decreased 7% year-on-year, mainly as a result of the initial transition process to shut down KPIR facility, as well as multi-day powered outages that interrupted operations at our Altamira and Cosolacaque sites in Mexico. As a reference, KPIR operated at a utilization rate close to 50% as production is ramped down in preparation for its full closure by September 2013. This obviously affects volume and conversion costs temporarily, while other Altec facilities absorb production. This quarter, we also saw a delay in seasonal volume caused by cooler early summer weather and its effect on bottled drink demand. On a sequential basis, however, volume rose 2%, reflecting the benefit from successful the bottleneck project at the Columbia facility early in the year. Polyester revenue fell 8% year-on-year due to lower volume and prices. The upward trend sustained by polyester prices in June 2012 shifted in March 2013, with a decline through May driven by falling oil and petrochemical feedstock prices. On the positive side, since then, raw material prices have remained relatively stable. As we mentioned in previous occasions, the effect of price volatility on margins is mitigated by Alpek's cost-plus pricing, but price movements may have a temporary effect on volume. Typically, downward prices trends have a short-term effect on demand, as our customers may defer some purchases by drawing down their own inventories. Polyester EBITDA was $72 million this quarter, excluding $27 million kefir expense provision. Polyester EBITDA would have been $99 million in the second quarter and $280 million year-to-date. In addition to the kefir expense provision, the operational ramp-up at this plant and power outages in Mexico negatively impacted polyester EBITDA. It is also important to note that for comparative purposes, the second quarter posted the highest quarterly EBITDA for 2012. Moving on the plastic and chemical segment, strong demand across the board drove volume increases of 11% year-over-year and 13% quarter-on-quarter. We saw a strong pickup in polypropylene volumes, up 13% year-on-year, and raw material prices stabilized following the decline that started in mid-February this year. In addition, higher EPS exports up to the U.S., Canada, and South America mitigated the slowdown we are seeing in the Mexican construction segment. Plastic and chemicals net sales increased 3% on an annual basis and 7% sequentially as robust volume growth compensated the lower prices. EBITDA for this segment was $49 million, a 15% year-on-year decline, but up 25% on quarter. For the second consecutive quarter, we continue to see sequential EBITDA improvement driven by a strong recovery in polypropylene and EPS, as well as relatively stable caprolactam margins. Note that caprolactam's margins have only improved slightly this year following the abrupt margin contraction in the second half of 2012, resulting from incremental capacity in China. Now, let me talk to you briefly about the consolidated financial results. Consolidated net sales increased 5% in the second quarter and year-to-year as a result of this year's lower volume and prices. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was $122 million, which is 39% lower year-on-year. This figure includes $27 million in expense provision already mentioned associated with the closure of the Cape Fear site to consolidate polyester production in more efficient facilities. Excluding Cape Fear expense provision, our second quarter 2013 consolidated EBITDA would have been $149 million or $309 million year-to-date, roughly in line with our original $650 million EBITDA guidance, which considered EBITDA generation to be greater in the second half of the year, driven by ongoing sequential improvement. We are revising our 2013 EBITDA guidance to $623 million, specifically to reflect the $27 million kefir expense provision. Operating results remain in line with our original estimates. This quarter, we posted a $71 million net loss as a result of the $140 million net impact related to the kefir site. Excluding the recognized losses associated with kefir, we would have reported a net income of $43 million for the quarter and $104 million year-to-date. I would like to wrap up this section of the call with a brief overview of net debt and CapEx. Our net debt at the end of the second quarter amounted to $644 million, virtually unchanged year-on-year, but 14% lower than the balance at the end of the first quarter. The $103 million sequential reduction in debt shows the important cash flow generation of our business, as we have this year already paid dividends and have important CapEx expenses grow. Finally, capital expenditure increased 120%, reaching $600 million, in the second quarter, a result of the ongoing investment in Cosoleacaque cogeneration plant. As mentioned earlier, this project's construction is more than 80% complete. Also, our subsidiary Inderpro exercises the option to pay a lump sum royalty during the second quarter pursuant to a license agreement to use the Spherizone technology at its second polypropylene production line. With this, I conclude my remarks and would like to open the call for questions. Operator, please, the participants on how to place the questions.
Certainly, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star 1 at this time for any questions. We'll go to Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse.
Thank you. Good morning, Pepe, Raul, Hernan. Thanks for the call. My question is regarding the MEG project. Could you help us understand a little bit better the status of this of the feasibility study that you are making? Basically, it would help, I think, if you can tell us what will determine whether you do the project in Mexico or in the U.S. Also, if you run any risk in your operations or margins if you do not carry out the vertical in this vertical integration project, or if there is any scenario under which you would give up on this project. Thanks.
Well, we are still undecided where to make it. I think in both fronts, in the U.S. and in Mexico, we have made important advances. We are trying to see if we can really do it in Mexico. We think it would be a much more interesting project for us to do it in Mexico. There are important benefits that we believe we can achieve in Mexico, especially in timing. We believe that if we can successfully come to an agreement with Pemex in Mexico, we can start up this project earlier than if we do it in the U.S. Also, well, we have not certainly closed the options to do that in Mexico. So from that point of view, we're pushing strongly in both parts of in both regions, but certainly we would prefer to do it in Mexico. Regarding of what would happen to our margins, I don't think that there will be any impact really in our margins. This is an integration project. And certainly, if we do not achieve to this project as we expected, there's plenty of glycol. It's a market that is plenty supplied, and we're currently actually buying this product today. And as we mentioned in other calls, we are a very important buyer of MEG, and we have and we don't think we will have any problem in continuing doing it in the future. We strongly believe that this is probably the most important strategic project in our company, so we will continue to pursue its conclusion to start construction and start operation as soon as possible.
Okay, that's very helpful. Yeah, that's very helpful, Raul. I mean, just regarding Pemex, for sure that there will be a lot of focus now on the proposal for the energy reform. So are you concerned that they will delay the progress in these discussions with you? I mean, are you open to continuing the discussions maybe next year when the energy reform theme is a little bit, already settled?
No way. Not at all. Let me tell you, Vanessa, this has nothing to do with the reform. We see a lot of interest on the side of Pemex and the government to continue looking at how to conclude this project. I think anything that could happen in the reform, we will just support what we are already working and construct. constructing together with Pemex. I don't see that, and it will delay by any means the reform of this project. No, we're in permanent discussions with them and advancing as I mentioned before.
Let me add to that, Vanessa. The key issue with this project is the availability of ethane, the contract of ethane. And in as much as we have an energy reform in Mexico, that issue will be certainly improved, you know, because as we produce more crude oil and more gas, there will be also more additional production of ethane. So again, we believe that the energy reform will only reinforce the attractiveness of and the, let's say, viability of the project.
Yes, no, I completely agree. I completely agree, and that's precisely why I'm asking that maybe it's even worth it to wait, maybe to see if the likelihood that Pemex can secure the ethane increases with the reform. I was just trying to understand better how urgent this project is to you, and because in some scenario it would be worth it to wait for the energy reform. Thank you for your feedback.
We do hope the energy reform will hear about that very soon. Probably within the next 2 months we'll know something. So it will not be a long wait.
That's good. That's great. Thank you for the feedback. Thanks.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star one for questions, and we'll go to Nicolaj Lippmann with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the call. Two quick questions, if I may. I'm sorry if I missed the... You mentioned in the release that a part of the volume decrease on the polyester side came up from Cape Fear, from the closure there. Could you give the detail of just how much that was? What would have been the volume without closing Cape Fear? That's one. Two, could you give a bit more color on the sort of current trends within in North America, specifically for PET and polyester products, please? Thanks.
Well, Nicola, it was, of course, the transition regarding Cape Fear, but not only that. I mean, as we prepare for the shutdown of Cape Fear, we also had to do the bottlenecking in Colombia. To do the bottlenecking in Colombia, we had to shut down one of our PET lines, one of the Integrex PET lines for more than 2 months. And then that certainly reduced our volume significantly. And we practically reduced exports to a zero during this first half of the year. Our exports were very, very low. And right now we're starting exports are starting to pick up, also supported by the improved margins in Asia. Together with that, I would say that the shutdowns due to power failures in our Mexican PET operations also hurt our volume. So those would be, I would say, the two main factors that hurt volume in the U.S. There is still undetermined, but there is also an impact due to the more moderate weather during the summer, or the delay in the summer in the U.S., and rains, a lot of rains on the northeast coast that we believe have reduced the consumption of PET to a certain extent. We believe July and August will be the, you know, stronger months. And again, as I mentioned before, our exports are starting to pick up as we speak. So we do believe volumes will be significantly improved in this third quarter. Again, we are assuming that we will not experience any additional shutdown due to the power failures in Mexico.
In terms of numbers, we estimate, of course, a very rough estimate, that volume would be very similar to last year's volume if we take out all these impacts that we were mentioning. And EBITDA also would be very much of what we had last year if we didn't have this impact, no? So I think that gives you a more or less an idea where we had been. No? Very similar to the first quarter of this year, sorry.
Okay. Do you have a sense of the growth of the market? How much market share you lost in the second quarter?
Market share?
We
do you have a sense of the growth of the total market?
The market this year, as I mentioned, has been very flat due to the fact that of the weather this year. We had a very long winter, much longer than normal winter, and summer started really late, and then we have had a lot of rain on this very strong consuming portion of the U.S., which is the northeast coast of U.S. So we believe the market has been very flat. We do not believe we have lost market share in the most important segments of the market. There has been, we lost exports, as I mentioned. We reduced exports significantly. We've lost a market in the lower segments of the market, in the lower margin segments of the market, mostly the thermoform operations, because they've been increasing the consumption of PCR, of recycled products, and in some of those cases, they've also been using more wide-spec product, not first grade. So we lost volume there and in export mostly. In the rest, we've remained very flat.
Got it. Thanks.
We'll go next to Ivan Enriquez with HSBC.
Hello, Pepe, Luis, and Hernan. Thank you for the call. I was wondering if you can help us better understand the concept itself. I mean, understand this extent provisions and asset impairments were related to the closure of the Cape Pier, but to understand in more detail the concept and the implications about this, I think that some of them impact the EBITDA, some others may only impact EBIT, and some others only net income. So could you please provide us more detail on these account charges?
Sure. I will. I think it's very clear, as I mentioned to you, EBITDA is being affected by $27 million. Okay. Then EBIT, we have the asset impairment charge affecting EBIT less the deferred income tax. So we have three concepts. The $27 million expense provision, which affects EBITDA, and the asset impairment charge that affects EBIT, and the deferred tax that compensates net income after those effects. So net-net, the impact is $114 million, which is the $184 asset impairment plus expense provision less the $70 million deferred tax.
Okay. Excellent. And the second question would be, could you share some details about the cost curve distribution before and after the closure of this Cape Pier site? I mean, I understand this was not really a very productive site, right?
Okay. We're having a little bit of trouble. You're breaking up, Ivan. If I understood correctly, your question was how the cost curve looked for Alpek before Cape Fear and after the Cape Fear closure. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Sorry?
Exactly.
Yes. Well, the Cape Fear site was our high-cost operation, and we have been mentioning that already in previous calls, so we were really all the way to the right side of the cost curve within the industry. With the closure of this site and with the bottlenecking that we have been doing in our operations, we are moving all our operations to the very left side of the cost curve of the region. In addition to that, as you may remember,
we announced the last quarter, we announced the Corpus Christi plan, which will increase even further our competitiveness once we have that operation, is completed that operation. So we will have probably the most competitive cost structure in the region and very competitive against any other region in the world.
Excellent.
But in the, again, Ivan, just to make sure you understand, we shut down three plants in Kefir. We have three plants, PTA, PET, and fiber. In case of PTA, I tell you, the cost of that plant relative to the new plant we want to build in Corpus could be, we'll be talking of $100 additional conversion cost. Okay? So it's a relatively high cost. The fiber plant, compared to the other plants we have in the U.S. and the agreements we have in Mexico, you're talking of 3 to 4 cents per pound, which is $70-$80 per ton higher, the fiber. In case of the PET, that plant was relatively efficient. It was very similar to other plants, but again, when you compare the all the three plants, the impact in saving is still going to be important. So that's why we mentioned that we estimate savings going forward on a we mentioned 30, but in reality, the precise number is we expect to increase our EBITDA $29 million per year as a result of shutting down the facility.
Okay, excellent.
Thank you. Part of the problem, so that you understand also, in fiber, not only that plant was higher cost, but a lot of that problem we were shipping to Mexico, which also has additional freight cost. Okay, so again, when you put all of these advantages together, it's how you come to the $29 million per year.
Okay, thanks. It's Juan Carlos Mateos. Can you hear me okay?
Hello, Juan Carlos. Yes, we can hear you fine.
Just very, it's a very easy question. It's a yes or no answer for Raul and Hernan. We were following up on Vanessa's and Pepe's Vanessa's question of the comments on the reform. When you were in our conference in Mexico City in February, we asked every single person the question about the reform, and we asked Raul and you, Hernan, about your optimism about the feasibility of an energy reform. Are you still that optimistic as you were in February, or have you changed your point of view on the energy reform?
Oh, we continue to be optimistic about it. We think it's very important, necessary to Mexico, and we believe it. They will try to get it through.
Yeah, we are more optimistic than 6 months ago. Now, we can see the government is very determined to making this happen. We believe the impact of this reform is so critical for the country that a lot of people begin to you know, I'm beginning to realize that, and again, we believe it's hopefully it's you know we will know this very shortly, but we remain very optimistic about this reform.
Well, thank you very much for your answers, Pepe, Raul, Hernan, and we took too much time already. Thanks a lot.
We'll go next to Christopher Buck with Barclays.
Good morning. Thanks again for the call. First question, I was just wondering if I got this number right. I calculated after adding back the Cape Fear expense, it still looked to me like the EBITDA margin in the polyester segment was pretty low on the quarter at 7.2%. So is that the right calculation? And if so, where do you expect that to go for the rest of the year?
No, I think it's correct what you add back. What we were explaining is that it was not only that, the impact on the EBITDA. We were explaining the closure of Kefir also operating at lower rate increased our cost per unit because we're operating at that lower rate, a high cost unit. So that will also have an impact from now until September when we finally shut down the operation. Also, we have already taken most of the impact already this quarter.
But still, operation cost per unit will be high at that site by the end of the year. So that's also important. The other thing that we had an impact is what we mentioned, our problems on energy supply that we have at our Altamira and Cosoleacaque plants, which affected our operation by having to shut down the production. And that, of course, has an important impact in our cost structure in our cost per unit in those two operations, because while we close and when we start up the plant, and we have some impacts there. So I think that the margins should go back to what it was normally seen in previous quarter, already in this third quarter of the year.
So that would be sort of in the 8 range, or could we expect it even higher in that by the end of the year as well?
No, I think it should be.
It's tricky. If you look at it on a percentage basis, because prices could move that number around, even though the absolute margin that Alpek gets on the polyester tonnage is relatively stable. If I reference my calculations, give me one second, but the EBITDA per ton, if I remember correctly, was roughly $120 if you exclude the, $120 if you exclude the Cape Fear effect, that compares against $150 in the first quarter. So it should be somewhere in that range. Obviously an improvement from the second quarter and closer to the first quarter.
We normally look at it as in terms of dollar per ton.
Okay,
so you should look at the dollar per ton, number of the first quarter, and then we think it should be in that level of result, the result of the third quarter.
Okay, perfect. And then can you just remind me on the total MEG needs of the company and roughly what percentage of COGS that represents?
The percentage of cost, I don't have it right here, but our consumption is 700,000 to 800,000 tons per year. Our total consumption, let's say, assume 700,000. That's a round figure. The cost of or the price of this MEG today is around $1,000 per ton. So you're talking of $700 million. Of course, for the glycol. Okay.
Great. And final one for me. You had a rebound in working capital in the second quarter. Can you give us some expectations for the rest of the year around your working capital?
We had a rebound? An improvement. An improvement, you mean?
Yes, correct. Yeah, it was a reasonable cash generation from working capital on the quarter.
You're right.
First quarter it was down, it came back in the second quarter. Just wondering what to expect the rest of the year.
We believe it's going to be stable from now on. Perhaps, I would say stability going forward would be what we expect. As you mentioned, this quarter was very strong. In fact, if you look at the cash generation, I mean, the debt reduction was $103 million in the quarter, and including the $60 million capex. So the cash generation during this last quarter was very, very strong. And part of that, of course, was the improvement in working capital. Our objective is to maintain the working capital pretty much where it is right now.
It very much depends on the trend of prices, of feedstock prices. And remember that normally when prices go up in this industry, we have to invest more in working capital. As prices of feedstock come down, then we can divest a little bit and liberate cash.
But we see stability in prices. We see stability in prices of raw materials.
And that's why we believe the working capital should remain quite stable for the remainder of the year.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
We'll go next to Juan Lopez with BTG Bank.
Hi, thank you for the conference call. I have two questions. The first one is if you could comment on what was the actual cash outflow related to the Cape Fear closure, and if we are likely to see further expenses in the third quarter related to that.
We don't see any additional expenses. The impact that you see in the results that we did in this quarter was all the impact that we expect from that closure. So you should not expect any additional impact on the results related to the closure of Cape Fear. So everything was put down here. And as we mentioned, there are different impacts on the depending how you see them. There are the cash impacts, which is the ones that are registered in the EBITDA. So the cash provision that we have made is the $27 million impact in EBITDA for the second quarter. And then we have the other ones, which is the $140 million, which is related to the other non-cash items that were impacting the operation. And that's it. We will not have an additional impact, whether it's not cash or non-cash, for the remaining of the year related to this transaction, as far as we see it today.
Another way to look at it, just building upon what Mr. Millares explained, is we provisioned the total effect for the Cape Fear closure, and we will be expensing it over the course of the next couple of years, between the time that we announce the closure and the time that we leave the premises, so to speak. But there's an intermediate step, which is the cease of all operations in September 2013. So between now and that two-year period, those expenses or those provisions will be expensed. But in accordance with IFRS, we recognize the full effect this quarter.
Yes, because on top of that, $27 million provision in EBITDA, you appear to have 918 million pesos in provisions in your liabilities. So I would like to know if you are going to expense that amount.
Not all of the, well, there is a provision on the that has to do with operational expenses, and there's also a provision that has to do with the assets, the asset impairment, the book value of the asset, the book value,
which is no cash.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think that what we are doing is we are taking out the value of the plan that we have in our books. And that we're doing this quarter, and that impact of taking that book value of those assets in our books is the one that you are seeing today, according to IFRS, is now being registered in our results. So that's what we're doing. You will not see any additional impact, whether it's in the balance sheet or in the income statement of the company in the next quarters, because we have done everything this quarter.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will see those provisions that will be drawn down, but we already have done that, okay?
Okay, so any further adjustment would be only at the balance sheet level, I guess.
No. Well, it will be, but it's already been done. I mean, the provision is done in the balance sheet. We have to make the numbers, but the balance sheet will not be reduced anymore. If you read the balance sheet, the balance sheet has already been adjusted to reflect the asset that we are taking out of our balance sheet. The plan value is already out, so the balance sheet will be the same in terms of size.
Okay, I get it.
I'll make it clear.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll go next. We'll go next to Rafael Escobar with Vector.
Good morning, and thank you, Jose, Raul, and Hernan. Could you so kind to disclose and give us more details for better understanding about the rest of the components of the other operating expenses, considering the negative impact of the $114 million of the Cape Kill closure plan? Because in pesos I have a difference of more than 900 pesos.
Let's see, Rafael, could you be a little bit more specific with your question?
You disclosed that the other operating expenses was for 2,422 pesos, and the KP close was in pesos for 1,482 pesos.
I think it's the deferred taxes. I think the total impact of the write-off is like 200 and something million dollars. Or, am I right? It's 184 for the up.
187,
right?
Less 70.
Less 70 on the income tax. Yeah, I think that's what the difference lies.
What are the difference?
I think I have to go over the numbers line item by line item with you, Rafael, offline to make sure that we have the same calculation.
Yes, sure. You already said that the close of the plant of Cape Fear were about $113 million. That's equivalent in pesos for 1,400. Right.
Yeah, that is net after deferred taxes. If you add to that number the deferred taxes, which is $70 million, that's approximately the $900 million that you are missing.
Uh-huh, yes.
Total.
And you already said that.
I'm sorry, if you look at the filing at the Bolsa, there's a line item called Pérdida por Deterioro de Activos.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Something along those lines. That will amount to 2,000 million pesos. That is the full effect of the Cape Fear closure, the $184 million that we're talking about.
Okay. It's okay. Good. Thank you very much, Hernan.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse.
Hi, thank you for taking this follow-up question. It's regarding the increases in capacity that have been announced in North America for PET. In Indorama, according to my estimates, if we take the new plants that Indorama and MNG are planning to come online in 2015 and 2016, those will increase that North American installed capacity of PET by 30%. So I was wondering if you could, if you are thinking ahead, I mean, where you think you will be able to place or that this all this North American new capacity will be able to place its production. I mean, I know you mentioned last quarter that you expect South America to take some of this additional capacity, but still 30% seems more than what those markets can take if they are growing at, say, 4% their consumption per annum of soft drinks, for example, and other types of packaging. It seems that there will be some excess supply in the market. I know it looks kind of far away, but I was wondering if you have some early thoughts on that. Thanks.
I believe, Vanessa, as you say, the market is growing 3-4% per year, which is round numbers, 100-150,000 tons per year. So if you take a time frame of 4 years, that's 600,000 tons. You can think the new capacity that has been increased is 1 million in Corpus Christi plus a half a million in Decatur is 1.5. The growth of the market will probably be, let's say, for 500,000-600,000 of that. We, as you can see, I mean, we are already shutting down in a certain way 200,000 in Cape Fear. And I would not be surprised if the other the other competitors would also have to impair some of the facilities, which would not be able to compete in terms of cost. So I think that you have to expect certainly some increase in exports. The growth, let's say 500,000-600,000 tons of growth, plus additional increase in exports, and reduction of imports, which we still have significant imports into North America. And then, imports, you'll be talking of 20,000-30,000 tons per month, so 300,000 tons of imports. So there will be some reduction in imports, some increase in exports, the natural growth of the market, and again, that, let's say that might be 600,000-800,000, you still have like another 600,000-700,000 tons left. Well, I believe that probably some of the let's say less competitive players will consider shorting some of their units.
Okay.
If you look at the plant, see that there are several plants that are probably high cost. And that will be, you know, in a way, I think, rationalized.
And as you remember, this is the industry is hardly operates at 100% because there are all the time some maintenance stoppage of a different capacity and plants. So that also kind of gives you an additional. You should subtract some of that 100% capacity that has actually never been used because of all this. Maintenance and different issues that come around the industry. So you should think more that the industry should work around the full capacity. Industry is normally working at 90% of its nameplate capacity. That's what it would normally you feel is a reasonable level of operation.
Is it fair to say that Alpek shouldn't expect to be closing more plants given its very competitive cost structure in PET?
Yes, it's not our plan to shut down more plants, to shut down more facilities.
Okay,
thank you very much. Because it's not only competitive, it's going to be, most of our plants are going to be integrated as well.
Exactly.
So, and remember we have the glycol coming? So.
Yes.
We believe we want to have a very competitive cost going forward.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
We'll go next to Karina Bubek with TIAA Crest.
Hi. I just have two questions. One is if you could just comment on your funding plans for the remainder of the year in terms of debt issuance. And just to clarify that the Corpus Christi CapEx is expected to be, I think, $350 million. That's what you said in the last call.
Yes. Well, the Corpus Christi investment is we estimate in $350 million, and we have enough cash right now to. Let's say, complete our investment program. We will be always analyzing the possibility of, let's say, extending or increasing our debt to prepay some of the existing debt. But we're trying to extend the terms of our loans, okay? That we're all the time considering, and it's going to depend on the market. If the market is attractive, we will be considering or looking at that.
So net leverage should remain sort of where it is now, assuming obviously that you maintain the guidance.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And then in terms of the prior Chris's question on the working capital, so, you know, should I assume sort of a flat use of cash for working capital for the entire year, given the swing in the first quarter and then, you know, the positive swing in the second quarter?
I believe, again, that as Mr. Millares mentioned, it really depends, to a certain extent, is not under our control. It depends on the raw material pricing. If raw materials increase, the prices increase, then we have to increase our working capital. If raw materials go down, we reduce it. At this point in time, we believe there is a reasonable stability in the raw material prices. Mm-hmm. So assuming that the prices of raw materials remain the same, you could consider that our working capital will remain pretty much in line with what you see today.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Eventually, and again, this is important, once we shut down Kefir, there could be a small reduction in working capital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
We'll go next to Fernando Ramos with GBM.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my question. We've seen a spike in CapEx during the first two quarters of the year, and I just want to make sure if this related specifically to the Cosoleacaque plant, or are there any other strategic growth investments in that spike? Thank you very much.
There are a lot of strategic investments in those first 6 months of the year. There is, of course, the cogeneration Cosoleacaque plant. There is the Corpus Christi plant. We already, I think we mentioned, we already invested $35 million in that project. So that's already there. There is this the bottlenecking projects we mentioned for Colombia. The investment is already there. And then we explained in this report that we made a prepayment of some of the royalties we have in Lepro, in our polypropylene joint venture. We had some royalties that we were supposed to pay over time. We decided that it was better for us to prepay those and save on interest rate for that payment. So we've made all of those payments during these first 6 months.
Excellent. Let me put it
in a different way. If you talk on our total CapEx, and you subtract the strategic investment, the maintenance CapEx will be like $30 million for the first half of the year.
Perfect. And could you disclose a specific amount of the royalties you mentioned?
We would like to, but we cannot. We are, as you can imagine, this is a very sensitive item. I mean, we have a confidentiality agreement. We cannot say how much money we pay for the license.
Yes, I completely understand. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, *1 at this time for any questions. With no questions in the queue, I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Lozano for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, we very much appreciate everyone's participation in today's call, and we look forward to maintaining an open dialogue with all market participants. Please feel free to contact us if you have any additional comments or questions. Thank you very much for joining our call.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining.